Good afternoon again, and I'd like to welcome the CD program. Hopefully I can get a message out to them. Several years ago, there was I don't know if you'd call him a Christian or not, but his name was John Bradshaw. Maybe some of you have heard of him. And he's sort of like a psychiatrist or a head shrink or something like that. But he talked about an interesting subject about human beings, and that is our ability to pretend not to see what we see, hear what we hear, and feel what we feel. And it sort of has to do with self-preservation. It's one of the ways that we protect ourselves from getting hurt. In other words, if you hear someone putting you down, you know, you don't want to hear that. So you pretend not to hear that. And that may be a beneficial thing to do from time to time. I'll get into that later on. Often we pretend that we don't see what we see. You know, if you see someone doing something wrong, you think, I didn't see that person do that. No way. often our emotions, we pretend that we don't, you know, you tell someone, how you doing? Fine. You're really doing terrible. You don't tell people you're doing terrible. You know, you pretend not to feel what you feel. We pretend not to see what we see and hear what we hear. Now, let's take each one of these. Why would we pretend not to see what we see? There's a psalm, and I'm not going to turn there, but Psalms 50 and verse 18, if you want to reference that. I'm reading from the God's Word translation here. It says, when you see a thief, you want to make friends with him. You keep company with people who commit adultery. Well, here is, obviously, why we would pretend not to see, you know, maybe a thief or to befriend a thief or an adulterer is maybe there's some kind of benefit to having this relationship. You know, maybe if I know this person, he can do something for me. And so we just overlook the sin or the wrong in that person's life. And yet Scripture comes along and says, Psalms 50 and verse 18 says, when you see a thief, you want to make friends with him. You keep company with people who commit adultery. So there's a warning there. Be careful who you choose as friends. Especially if it's a pattern, you know. In order to get what I want out of life, I'm going to befriend the wrong kinds of people. In Deuteronomy 22 and verse 1, on the subject of pretending not to see what we see, it says, if you see another Israelite's ox or sheep out where it doesn't belong, don't pretend that you don't see it. Make sure you take it back. You know, you zip right down the road and you think, oops, I didn't see that. Yeah. And it continues on in verse 3. It says, do the same thing if you find a donkey, some clothes, or anything else that another Israelite may have lost. Don't pretend that you don't know what to do. Again, pretending not to see what we see. You know, I wonder what I should do in this case. Well, immediately you think, okay, I know the right thing to do, but we begin to make excuses. Is, no, I don't have time. And that's usually my excuse. I don't have time. You know, I got to slow down. No. I got to make time. And our work is very slow, and I still don't have any time. This is amazing. pretending not to see what we see. You know, there's a scripture, and Christian people, and I used to do this myself, we misapply this verse. It says, judge not that you be not judged. And a lot of Christian people will go around and say, it's not for me to judge. I shouldn't see that. You know, I shouldn't, you know, I told you the story about down here at the store. It was more than several years ago. It was when, I think, Jimmy Swaggart had gotten caught with a prostitute, picking up a prostitute. And, of course, the store down here, men gossiping. You know, men gossip also. If you didn't know that. And they're all in the store, and the religious type comes in. You know, the type you want to run in the other direction when you see. The religious type comes in, and they said, hey, he said, they're asking this guy, what do you think about old Swaggart getting caught with a prostitute? And that guy, the religious type, said, well, the Bible tells me it's not to, I shouldn't judge. Well, you know, yes, Jesus, you know, judging without the facts, but this was an issue of facts. He was already caught. It was on the news. And it's not judging to say what he did was a sin. It was wrong. He was committing adultery. That's just relating facts. He is a sinner. He cheated on his wife. It's not wrong to call a spade a spade. You know, when you judge without the facts, though, that's another story. But this was real issues here. So often, again, we do pretend that we don't see what we see. And it's not a Christian virtue to be like an ostrich with your head in the sand. Nothing Christian about that. The second one, pretending not to hear. Why would we do that? Why would we pretend not to hear? In Jeremiah 13 and verse 10, it says this, these evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them. Here, God describes a group of people who refuse to hear my words. You know, often we don't want to hear because we don't want to do what God is saying. One time I was out with one of our workers, and we were at the dinner table. I think I might have took the guy out to eat or something. I said, you know, we were talking about the Sabbath or why I didn't work on the Sabbath. And I said, you know, a lot of people don't even know that the seventh day is Saturday. And Sunday is the first work day of the week. And he played this familiar game of, well, how do you know which day is the Sabbath? How do you know that time has not been lost? In other words, he played the ignorance card. Let's throw out the ignorance card. Nobody knows anything, you know. Who can know what day it is or anything like it? And, you know, it's we pretend not to hear because we don't want to do what we're being told to do. Farm-fed catfish. That's a good one. That's another good one. About the dietary laws, you know. Sometimes people will say, well, yes, I know God says not to eat that, but what about these, you know, farm-fed catfish? Surely they're clean enough to eat. Or farm-fed pigs, or how about farm-fed vultures? You know, let's eat them. But, you know, I know it says that, but there's got to be a way around it. In this scripture in Jeremiah 13, verse 10, it talks about walking after other gods. Have you ever noticed as a nation, we love other gods? You know, it's like the Indian guru who comes with, you know, people will flock to that kind of stuff, Hinduism or whatever, some foreign pagan religion. People will eat that up because there's no requirements. Nothing you got to do. You just sort of feel good about yourself, or you sit on the ground with your legs crossed and feel something or whatever. And one minister asked the question, what has the religion of Hinduism ever done for its people? You know, they worship cows. They live in poverty and squalor. I mean, they're, you know, God says, if you will hearken, and there's the word, if you will listen, if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings. God is a God of blessings, not curses. So, but people miss that point. But they miss it for a reason. God, the real God, requires things of us, and we don't want to hear it. In other words, come worship my God. You won't have to do a thing about changing your life. Okay, the last one was pretending not to feel what we feel. You know, being able to feel your emotion is a healthy thing. And yet we're told as a society, we're told big boys don't cry. Well, that's a lie. Big boys do cry. There was a song about that. I forget who did that. Tim McGraw? Something about...
Grown men don't cry.
Yeah. That was a pretty powerful message, I believe. song anyway. But big boys do cry. And you know, anger, I've seen, experienced this one when people will, some people have a tendency to hold in their feelings of anger. And just hold it in and hold, instead of releasing it in a godly way, saying, I'm upset, I'm angry, or, you know, they hold it in until the point where they just blow up. And I mean, when they blow up, they really blow up, and everybody better get out of the way. you know, if you're riding the elevator to the 20th floor and someone's standing on your toe, it's okay to get angry, you know, and say, you're stepping on my toes, please get, you know, that's a healthy emotion. Someone once said that we tell ourselves 200 lies a day. And I think we might do this when we refuse to feel what we feel. You know, we go around, we say, I'm okay when we're not. We say, I feel fine when we're not. And our relationship is great. Husband and wives can do that one. You know, it's a facade. You know, we just, you know, it's a facade. And it's not even a great relationship at all. They're having deeply spiritual problems, but will not admit it. Okay. So I've gone through our inclinations here sometimes to pretend not to see what we see, hear what we hear, and feel what we feel. Now, I want to look at the other side of the coin. I believe a Christian with the Holy Spirit has a unique ability not to. In fact, that's the title of the sermon, Your Ability Not To. And that is your ability not to see what you see, and hear what you hear, and feel what you feel. That the Holy Spirit can enable us to do these things. Your ability not to see what you see, hear what you hear, and feel what you feel. Now let me explain. In Galatians 5 and verse 16, talks about a battle that we're all going through. And it says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." We're all aware that we are in a battle, a great spiritual battle. And often we are overpowered by, what are we overpowered by? We're overpowered by what we see, what we feel, our emotions, and what we hear. Often these three little areas causes us to sin. That was Galatians 5 and verse 16, the scripture about the battle that goes on. And the ability not to be controlled by the flesh involves your ability not to see what you see, hear what you hear, and feel what you feel. Our ability not to. Now let me explain what I'm talking about. Jesus said this, you want to turn to this when you can, it's Matthew 5 and verse 27, because we'll stay right there for a while. Matthew 5 and verse 27. He's dealing with the ability not to see what you see. He says, "You have heard it said of them by old times, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart." Now, again, it's not that you don't, you are exposed to all these things as a Christian. There, you can't get away from it, our society. You can't run, you can't hide. But we're talking about, even though it's out there, your ability not to. Your ability not to see what you see. It, obviously empowered by the Holy Spirit to do this. Someone said that this, that what Jesus required here is what was referred to as an unnatural act. It's the most natural thing in the world for a man to look at a beautiful woman with lustful thoughts. That's natural for a person, for men to do that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, by the way. But God, Jesus is not asking us to do the impossible, is he? No, he's not. He's asking us to do what we have an ability to do, the ability not to see what you see. In other words, it's not that it's not out there. It's not that your ability not to see what you see. There's an ability to say, okay, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to go down that road. Lust is a spiritual issue, and it can only be resolved by the Spirit of God dwelling in you. In other words, we do not fight spiritual battles with the flesh. It's a dead-end street. You won't get anywhere trying to resist these things with just the flesh. You've got to have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God to do these things, to have the ability not to. Your ability not to see what you see. Because think about it. How do you deal with this issue? As a young man or as an old man, it doesn't matter. Men, how do you deal with this? Do you hide out? Do you say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go rent a cave. You wouldn't have to rent a cave, would you? I'm going to go hide in a cave, and I am never going to go out into society. Because I know what's out there. That's one option. You can do that. But what about if you work at a place? Maybe you work in an office, and where you work, there's some very beautiful women there that maybe dress seductively. You think that's a possibility? Oh, yeah. How do you deal with it? You deal with it with the ability not to see what you see. It's not that you're not going to be exposed to it. I love the beach. Love the beach. What I see on the beach are often half-naked women and half-naked men, for that matter. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. But I love the beach. And there's a power with the ocean that I love. And so what can you do? You know, and even and I am for, all for, I believe that women should dress modestly. I mean, I think obviously they should. I mean, that's a good thing. But you know, there are societies where women dress from head to toe with two slits cut out right here. All you can see is their eyeballs. And the men still lust after these women. It's an internal problem. I mean, it's something that the battle can be won with the ability not to see what you see. It's out there, but the ability not to see what you see. I've often thought about temptation. I'll just ask this question. Do you confront or run from temptation? What are you doing as a human being? Now, do you confront it or run from? Now, I know there's a time to flee temptation. Joseph, Potiphar's wife, you know. There's a time you say, I got to get out of here because I'm in a bad predicament. But if your mentality is to always run, running. I just can't be exposed to any of this stuff. I'm not sure God is going to get out of you what he wants. You know, there is such a thing as, no, I'm going to have to be a man and confront this issue that is trying to destroy me. You know, and it's tough. It's tough. I told a story one time about I was running ads for the church. I went to the plate office, Roanoke Times office magazine, whatever, sit down. Here comes a very beautiful woman, sits down, and I mean her, she was well built too. And I mean it was hanging out. I don't know how to put this, you know. But I thought, man, I'm having a hard time even staying focused on what I'm doing here. But I had an idea. Oh, here we go. Here, just, you know, as I'm communicating, just say, let me put this right here, you know. Yeah, it'd be hard to sign the paper or write the check. But, you know, I have to deal with this issue. You know, you either confront these things and realize I'm not going to get out of this world without these issues coming my way. So, but the power is in your ability not to see what you see. Okay? All right, the second one was your ability not to feel what you feel. Your emotions. And that's in Matthew 5 and verse 21. Just says this, you have heard it of old time, you shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of the hell fire. You know, the most natural thing in the world is to hold a grudge. I don't get mad, I get even. I saw a shirt that said that one time, you know. to resentment to build up, anger, resent, to hold a grudge for 20 years because someone did you wrong 20 years ago. And people hold on to this. But again, you do not fight spiritual battles with the flesh. And again, the ability not to feel what you feel. Now, sure, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel that resentment building up. But you have an ability through the Holy Spirit of God to not feel what you feel. Consider this. All areas of your life, whether it's sexuality, not to feel what you feel. Anger, not to feel what you feel. Depression, you know, how many times have we dealt with that? Not to feel what we feel. Obstacles. You know, how do you handle obstacles? I was watching a documentary about the Bee Gees, and they were talking about at a young age, they about 11 or 12, they said, we are going to be famous. One day, we're going to be famous. And they tell the story about when obstacles, it's almost as if they didn't go looking for obstacles, but they were not scared of obstacles. When obstacles came their way, they just said, okay, it's another obstacle. We're going to get through this. I'm going to overcome this. They talked about leaving from Australia and going to England, and when they got out, they hadn't had a hit record yet. When they got to England, they met a band. The band said, bands are out. You might as well go back to Australia. Nothing going on here. And they said, they just looked at it, okay, this is another obstacle. I'm not, you know, this is not going to bother me. This is not going to get me down. And sometimes you see that more so with stars and a lot of Hollywood actors, musicians, bands. They have a determined, first of all, they decide what they want to be, and then nothing gets in the way. And I sort of see that lacking in Christians. You know, you decide, I'm going to overcome this sin. Or you decide, I'm going to be in the first resurrection. And then from that point, nothing gets in the way of that. Let me ask you a question. When you face obstacles, do you think God is punishing you or trying to make you stronger? Yeah. But it's a matter of how you look at it. A lot of times people can say, well, oh boy, this is going wrong. I bet God is upset with me. He's punishing me for this. No. The latter is true. He's trying to make you stronger. And that's the reason for the obstacles. And we have to have that determination and use our ability not to see what we see, feel what we feel, and hear what we hear. The third one is the ability to not to hear what you hear. Matthew 5 and verse 33 says this. Again, you have heard that it said to them by old time, you shall not forswear thyself, but you shall perform unto the Lord your oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these comes evil. Communication, you know. And now I'm thinking about right now, you know, I'm thinking about, okay, when you communicate to people, the ability not to hear what you hear, your ability to discern between, let's say, oaths and all of the... You ever met a person who just had a big mouth? Just... And they make all kinds of promises, and they make empty promises, and they got all these oaths and things they're going to do and dreams and visions, and they talk. You need to discern between that and the simplistic yes, yes, no, no. You know, I like the simplistic yes, no. I know now why I'm attracted to quiet people. Quiet people have a lot more yes, no. answers. People that run their mouths a lot don't have a lot of yes, no answers. They don't. I was working with Daniel a few days ago, and Daniel's, he's Hispanic, he's very quiet. Of course, we couldn't talk if we wanted to. No, he speaks English, but he's just, he's a quiet, hard worker, productive, steady. I mean, he's just a steady worker. And we got along great because he wasn't talking to me, and I wasn't talking to him. I might have said yes, he might have said no. I was going about my business, he was going about his business. Highly productive, the two of us. Highly productive. I know now why I married Teresa. We're both highly productive, but we don't talk a lot. It's yes, no. It's politicians. What do you have? Have you ever heard a politician say yes or no? What you have are broken oaths, broken promises. That's all you're going to get. And so your ability in dealing with people to just sort of discern all of this and get down to what does this person really stand for? The yes, the no's, to get down to that. It seems that we can fit into two categories, or you will meet people that fit into two categories. One is, this is what I'm going to do. Blah, 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 blah. Or, this is what I have done. Here it is. Use it. Which category do you fit into? This is what I'm going to do, or to be able to come up and say, this is what I've already done. And to have something to present to someone that they can use what you've done. I mean, it's important with God, in a relationship with God, to, if you want to be used of God, give him something he can use. Don't just talk about it. Don't just dream the dream. Live it and give God something that he can use. Most communication that goes on is so much excess gas. Or it would seem so. There's a reason why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Lord, oh, I love you so much. Lord, I love you so much. That's so much excess gas. But you don't do what I say. Okay, in conclusion here, I want to turn back to Philippians 4 and verse 8. I want you to notice, I guess, what's not in this scripture. The list of thousands of things that are not in this scripture. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. As I look at this, I imagine myself maybe making a list of things that we're not to think about. How many things could you list? The things that we are not to see, not to hear, not to feel. The ability not to be controlled by the flesh involves your ability not to. See what you see, hear what you hear, and feel what you feel. And it's an ability to fight spiritual battles on a spiritual level, not just with the flesh. An ability to fight spiritual battles on a spiritual level. And as I think about this, how important the Holy Spirit of God is it any wonder that the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his.